record straight. It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
testing, Jesus, 1, 2, 3, testing. Good morning, everybody.
Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. My Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph on His foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Putting on the Ritz, his thunder and his footsteps of lightning in his fists. And the Lord wasn't joking when it kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Sing a little louder than that. Here we go again.
counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Amen, amen. Glad that you're listening here today. We're going to be getting started in just about 6 minutes, noon Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to the podcast.
Every tear that I cry, want you to sing the second verse and the chorus just to this song. And I want you to understand, whoever you are, wherever you are, he knows your name. I said he knows your name. Praise God. Praise God. Oh.
We're going to be getting started right after this.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the Trans Day of Vengeance will go ahead as scheduled, even though six Christians were just shot and killed by transgender school shooter. For over a decade now, NTEB has been warning of the rapid and radical shift in our society brought on by the various factions of the 2SLGBTQIA+ army. And it's gone from a war of words to mass executions. Who's the target? Christians. Who's doing the shooting? Transgenders. What do they want? Complete and total submission by Christians to their demonic ideology. When asked about events of the last days by his disciples, Jesus said that the time would be like the days of Lot. We are in the closing moments of the church age, and we are also in the overlap time period of the beginning of sorrows. The Trans Day of Vengeance is happening this weekend. They couldn't care less. Six people just died. Christians don't count. The days of Lot are here. Christian, ready or not, here they come. Luke 17:28-30. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, transgender shooter Audrey Hale died at the hands of Nashville police after she had murdered three children and three adults at the Covenant Christian School in Tennessee. But those kids were not her main target. She was gunning for the pastor with whom she had been having counseling, and when she couldn't find him, she murdered his six-year-old daughter and five other people instead. So far, the police have released just about everything related to the shooting, everything that is except the transgender manifesto that Audrey Hale used as a field manual. Why won't they show us the manifesto? I'll hazard a guess and say that they won't release it because it would show a intricate and detailed plan to murder Christians who won't bow to the demands of the transgender Nazis. Hey, here's a great question. Why are so many members of Antifa transgender? On this special edition of the Prophecy News Podcast, we open our King James Bibles and show you the demonic transgender agenda and the war that they are currently waging against Christians across America and around the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here today. We're glad that you woke us up today. We're grateful for the food on the table, for the clothes on our back, for the roof over our head, and for every good gift that you give us, Father God. We couldn't do it without you. We owe you everything, and you owe us nothing, and you are so much better to us than what we deserve. And today, Lord, we open up our prayer list. We pray for Annetta. She asked for prayer for a complete healing to be able to walk again after having a stroke almost a year ago. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease and he needs our prayer. Rob Beattie is back in the hospital with colon cancer. He is in a lot of pain, but from what I hear, Brother Rob is witnessing to the doctors and to the nurses and to everybody else who will listen, talking about his love for Jesus Christ. Clayton Perry, he's going through the side effects of chemotherapy. He needs prayer. Craig Arford and Harmon's son Michael are dealing with pancreatic cancer. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy, she has metastatic breast cancer. Sarah Shine is asking for prayers for a good result on an upcoming CT scan. Also prayers for her children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Carol Jane is in the hospital until today, I believe, and we are praying for her. Maddie Luck has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Deborah Shular is dealing with health issues after a parasite. Jill up at Kinnelon Baptist Church in New Jersey, she's getting ready for open heart surgery in a few weeks, and we're praying for her. Rebecca Lynn asking prayer for her friend Joel Smith, who was unsaved and had a stroke. Catherine Martino's nephew Stevens suffered sudden cardiac arrest. He needs to get healed and saved. Doug's brother David just had a heart attack. Linda is asking prayers for Hannah's mom, who was very sick after getting blood clots after getting the COVID vaccine. Natalie and her husband Ken have health issues. Marilyn praying for Tim Kelly for complete healing after surgery to remove his tracheotomy. Julie Pierce, her son had a heroin overdose. He's saved, but we're praying for him to be able to win his battle with addiction. Patricia Alliston would like prayers for husband Ron, who has cancer. Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla, Joe and Linda's son and daughter, and April's niece are all expecting, as well as Terry Bryant's daughter, Jillian. And so we're praying for all those ladies to have a healthy and successful birth with their babies. Mark Saxa, he's praying for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy, praying for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Leslie needs the Lord to rule and overrule in a financial situation. Palmetto State Guy would like prayers for his mother Eunice, his father Paul, who suffers from gout. Jeanette would like prayers for Trista, who's going to court to get custody of her granddaughter. And Jeanette's friend Tina is in the hospital with heart complications. Diane would like prayers for her grandchildren. Her 17-year-old grandson Connor has been going by the name Emily and sometimes dresses like a girl. This is very timely for our podcast today. Her 14-year-old daughter, granddaughter Victoria, considers herself to be bisexual. And we are praying for Connor and Victoria to get saved and to be released from the bondage of the LGBTQIA plus agenda. Rebecca D. would like prayers for her daughter, Tamaya, who was viciously attacked. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Lori, and Steve all have unspoken requests. Linda and Joe LaPiana are relocating to my town of St. Augustine. Well, welcome, Linda and Joe. They should be arriving here tomorrow. Wow. Trisha says, praise report. Nathan's doing well. He's home. His eye hurts. Pretty normal for post-op, but the doctor said yesterday it's looking good. And he needs to start drinking some raw carrot juice, very high in beta carotene, that will greatly help his eye to heal. Tiffany Brown says, please, I have an unspoken prayer today. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, we just commit this time to you. And Palmetto State Guy says that he is trying apple cider vinegar, and it's helping. It is helping for gout. You got to stick with it. You got to do it twice a day, every day, for until it goes away. But I promise you it will. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for everybody who needs a healing. We ask you to step in and rule and overrule. We ask you to hear all these prayers, answer all these prayers according to your will. You are sovereign, God. And we just come before you and we bow before you. And we say, God, let all this be done for your glory, for our good. Lola says, we lift up these prayers to you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Amen. And we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here today. Hundreds and hundreds of people logging on right now, listening to this podcast, coming up on 200 people in the chat room. This is a topic that everybody wants to talk about. You talk about ripped from the headlines. This is what's happening right now. Now, I heard this morning, I have not been able to verify this because I've just been so busy getting ready for the podcast today. I heard that they canceled the Trans Day of Vengeance. If anybody could confirm that for me, that would be great. I heard that they have canceled the Trans Day of Vengeance. It used to be called the Trans Day of Visibility. And they are no longer doing that. But again, I do not have verification of that. So if one of you guys could kind of just go through the headlines and just post in the chat room and let me know if it's been canceled or not. Now, Joe Biden, here's a video that we posted on Twitter just a couple of days ago. And this has gotten, it's coming up on 100,000 views last time that I checked. And take a listen to what Joe Biden said. Now, we have often told you that it's our opinion that Joe Biden has dementia. And he is being used as a cipher. If you look up the definition of that word cipher, it means a zero. It means a blank. A Trojan horse would be a cipher. And that's what Joe Biden is. And he's been put in there by the shadowy figures of the New World Order. But he was instructed the other day by his handlers to go out and address the school shooting that took place at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, you can imagine, and Barack Obama actually would have been perfect for this. Ronald Reagan would have been perfect for this because they understood the camera. They understood the power of the media. And they made sure that whenever they looked into that camera, now, you know that I'm not a Barack Obama supporter, so don't get nervous. But I'm just simply saying that there have been presidents over the years that really knew what the camera was looking at when it was trained on them. Joe Biden is not one of those people. So take a listen to what came out of Joe Biden's mouth a couple of days ago when he was told to look into the camera and talk about the school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. Take a listen to Joe Biden.
From the White House.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. God. Ben, how are you, pal? One of the best guys in the United States Congress, Ben Cardin. Folks, it's a delight to have you all here. And who are those good-looking kids back there? They're your kids, all four of them? Well, stand up, guys.
John, we'll jump back in here. Considering the moment.
We were told that the shooting that just happened
left three children dead. Three adults dead, shooters dead, and we were told he would be addressing this off the top.
Yeah, it's rather surprising. I thought that a somber President Biden would have come to the podium here and addressed the school shooting.
Now, you can just picture Ronald Reagan, John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama, even George H.W. Bush, he was always good at a sober moment, at a serious moment. And you can just picture what any other president would have done.
What did Joe Biden do? Hey, this is President Jill Biden's husband. Welcome. I'm doing three shows a day. And those people are applauding him while the nation is in the throes of a transgender school shooting. Absolutely shameful. Absolutely disgusting. But this is the president that we have, and this is what we're dealing with. And it's just, it's a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. But what you need to know about Joe Biden is absolutely in favor of the transgender movement. Listen to what his press secretary said the other day about the Trans Day of Vengeance.
Kentucky, the Kentucky legislature overrode the governor's veto of a bill that restricts aspects of trans youth gender affirming care and the use of bathrooms. I know that the White House released a proclamation for Trans Day of Visibility. There is a march happening tomorrow to commemorate this day, but also to protest these type of bills that are continuing to be passed and advanced in legislatures across the country. What is the White House's message to these lawmakers that are passing these bills and to those who are taking to the streets to protest them?
So look, first of all, we support peaceful protest. We think it's important for Americans and people just across the country to make their voices heard, just as long as it's peaceful. And we've been very clear about these anti-LGBTQ bills that we're seeing in state legislatures across the country, in particular these anti-trans bills, as they attack trans kids, as they attack trans parents. It is shameful, and it is unacceptable.
Now, what she said is that the Biden White House is against these anti-trans bills that attack the transgender movement. You know, some of those bills, especially the ones that were recently passed last month in Tennessee, the bills that they say are linked to what Audrey Hale did with the school shooting, some of those bills, which are now law in the state of Tennessee. Take a listen to this. House Bill number 9, a bill banning drag performances from taking place on any public property in the state, as well as in any location where people under 18 could be present. Now, is that a bill that targets transgenders? Not at all. That is the bill that protects children, is what that is. House Bill number 1 bans children under the age of 18 from being chemically and surgically mutilated. Now, is that a bill that's against transgenders? No, that's a bill that protects children. So that's what they're talking about. The Biden administration, and I have some amazing clips for you today, but the Biden administration, there is a spirit that's at work today. And that spirit is connected to Antichrist, is what that spirit is. And it is absolutely demonic what is happening right now. And we will be getting into that in just a little bit.
As you mentioned, tomorrow's Trans Visibility Day, on a day that we should be lifting up our trans kids, our trans youth, and making sure that they feel seen. We're seeing more and more of these hateful, hateful bills. And that's what Republicans want to spend their time on. They don't want to talk about lowering costs. They don't want to talk about actually making Americans' lives better. They want to take away people's freedoms. And one of the things that we saw during the midterm elections is that people don't want their freedoms to be taken. They want us to fight for their freedoms. And so it is shameful. It is disturbing. And our hearts go out to the trans community as they are under attack right now. But this is a president who has said many times before he has their backs. He will continue to have their backs, and he will continue to fight for them. And his record shows.
Well, isn't that interesting that she says that Joe Biden has the back of the transgender people, What about the back of the people who were just murdered by transgender Audrey Hale? What about their loved ones, and what about their families? Who has their back? Well, the Biden administration doesn't seem to have their back, not at all. Take a listen to this. Here is a transgender telling you what, I don't know whether it's a he or a she. If you're new to this program and you're expecting me not to misgender somebody, you've come to the wrong place. I really can't keep track what these people are, and you know, it seems to change on a daily basis. But take a listen to this person talking about how misgendering somebody's pronouns is every bit as bad as murdering six people with a handgun.
Aiden Hale, that's the name of the Nashville shooter. This video is about to be very uncomfortable for a lot of us. It's very uncomfortable for me to talk about, but we need to talk about it. Aiden did a very horrendous thing. Period, point blank. We need pew-pew reform in our country. But the way that the media and the police are misgendering and dead-naming Aiden is quite concerning. It's also concerning that I had to go to the Telegraph from UK to actually get Aiden's chosen name. It's upsetting that constantly it is she, her pronouns. That is incredibly frustrating, because even though they did this horrible thing, does not mean that we get to do those things. That's a boundary, and we can hold people accountable without being transphobic, even for some of the most horrendous things. So while you're watching this, also watch for transphobia, because that's very clearly coming out.
Well, evidently, I think we would do well to be transphobic, especially considering that the trans people seem to be locking and loading. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of anybody who's coming at me with a gun. And if that makes me a transphobic person, then, well, that's just what it's going to be. But look, we are living in a time where a new world order is coming into view. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that we have been talking about this a lot. And what you're seeing is the new world order. And today is day 1,100 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Ironically, the man who instituted 15 days to flatten the curve, then President Donald Trump, he's being arrested. And now, these charges, they say that there's 34 charges against him. You're going to have to throw out about 92% of all of those charges, because it's just nonsense that they're making up. But does Trump have anything in his background which could possibly be a criminal act? Well, if you're from up north like I am, I remember going to college in New York City back in the early 1980s, and I remember reading about Donald Trump, and he has always been a very charismatic, dynamic, and captivating person. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, whether you have no opinion, Donald Trump is a public relations dream. He is a self-marketing individual, and I am quite positive that he is going to make the most out of his arrest. You're going to see the handcuffs. You're going to see everything. But it's ironic that the very same person that said 15 days to flatten the curve, the very same person that rolled out the vaccinations in the first place, he is now being arrested and could possibly go to jail. Why are they targeting Trump? What does that have to do with the transgender movement? Before I answer that, take a listen to this.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Now, that little audio clip was spoken by then-President George H.W. Bush, and he said that on three separate times. One of those times was on September 11th, 1991, and it was at the start of the Gulf War, and it was 10 years to the day before what would happen in New York City with the World Trade Centers being brought down. And so we talk about a new world order. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We talk about a new world order that comes into existence in the end of time. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. And let's take a look at some of the things that Daniel said was going to take place in the last days. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 23. Daniel 7, 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns, Revelation chapter 13, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. That is talking about the 3.5 year period of the Great Tribulation. And turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus addresses this, and we've been talking about this topic a lot lately as well. Look at what he says, Matthew 24, verses 20 and 21. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's the Jewish people, those days shall be shortened. And so Jesus is talking about the same thing that Daniel is talking about. And now turn to Revelation chapter 13. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is what Daniel saw. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his great power and his seat and his authority. So, Revelation chapter 13, everything that Daniel said was going to take place one day, someday, takes place in the book of Revelation. And this is what the apostle John, in John chapter 21, and Jesus said that John was going to live long enough to see the second coming. Well, Jesus gave him this revelation, and the apostle John did see the second coming before he died. Now, he wrote that 2,000 years ago, right around the year 96 AD. And so we are coming up on 2,000 years, give or take a decade, since the apostle John was given this revelation of Jesus Christ and things that would take place in the last days. Now, turn to the book of Job. turn to Job chapter 41. Book of Job chapter 41. And I want to show you something that's really, really quite fascinating. Job is the oldest book ever written. It's the oldest, it's the first book of the Bible. Now, Genesis appears in a chronology of the creation, but Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy well after Job wrote the book of Job. Job is 42 chapters long. The Great Tribulation is 42 months long. Job is a Jew who is a type. He is a Gentile who is a type of the Jew in the tribulation. Look down at the bottom of Job chapter 41, and this is talking about Leviathan. Job 41:31. Speaking about Leviathan, he maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is a king over the children of pride. Now, who is Leviathan? Well, if you know your Bible, if you believe your Bible, you know exactly who Leviathan is. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Daniel said that there is a flood that is connected with the tribulation. There is a flood that is connected with the tribulation, and you read about that in places like Daniel 9:26, that there is going to be a flood connected with the tribulation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, look down in verse 13. Remember those verses that I read to you from Matthew chapter 24? This is the fulfillment of what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Revelation 12:13. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." That dragon is Leviathan. Remember, Job 41 says he is the king over the children of pride. "And to the woman," Revelation 12:14, "and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Now we're back in Daniel chapter 7. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood." Daniel chapter 9. "After the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." And Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the seed of the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are the tribulation saints." Now, I told you that Job chapter 41, it says that Leviathan is a king over all the children of pride. I want you to listen to this transgender talking about the God that made her. It's a guy, but take a listen to this. Transgender says, "God made me in her image."
I think children are only unsafe at drag shows when a shooter shows up to kill them.
That's right.
That's where the threat is. I would challenge anyone just to get to know trans people. We are a vibrant, diverse community, as diverse as anyone else. You know, I'm from the great state of Texas. I served in the military. I go to church every Sunday. My faith is very important to me. But God made me in her image. God made me transgender. And to see these people so cynically weaponize this and exploit these children's debts and their teachers' debts, it breaks my heart. I wonder what those families are thinking right now.
What do you feel when you have somebody like Michael Knowles say at CPAC, we need to eradicate transgenderism, and when somebody like Tucker Carlson says that transgender people are at war with Christians?
I can't see Christ in their words. That's for damn sure. I can't see where the biblical principles of loving your neighbor and walking the walk with Christ that they can see. I can't see what they're seeing right now, because that's not of Christ. It's not.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to blow your mind. Are you ready for this? You heard that transgender say that God made me in her image, right? Well, what would you say if I agreed with her? What would you say if I agree with everything that that transgender just said in that clip, that God made transgender people in her image? I believe that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you'll see why I agree with that transgender, that God made her in her image. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's who made that transgender in her image. Have you ever seen a picture of Baphomet? Have you ever wondered why the image of Baphomet that the Church of Satan and the Freemasons love so much is a half man, half woman type of creature with horns and scales, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, I believe that transgender, her God, his God, whatever, absolutely made transgenders in her image. But her image is Baphomet. Her image is the divine feminine. And this is where we are. This is where we are on the end times timeline. And so you got to be really, really careful when you listen to people talk, and you've got to understand where they're coming from and what they're actually saying, because sometimes they're going to say things that are categorically true. Lulu says, oh, now I understand what you're saying. Her God, with a small g, is not our God. Absolutely right. Her God, his God, is the God of this world. It is Lucifer. It is Satan. And it's going to be physically embodied by Antichrist. Now, don't get nervous, but I just put a picture of Baphomet into the chat room. And I want you to look at that picture. Can you see that that is a man with the head of a goat, with horns, the breasts of a woman, and the torso of a reptile? And you can see the caduceus between its legs, the two snakes around the pole that is the logo of the American Medical Association. But when this transgender, and I'm going to play this clip one more time because it's so short. When that transgender says that her God made her in her image, he's telling you the truth.
I think children are only unsafe at drag shows when a shooter shows up to kill them.
That's right.
That's where the threat is. I would challenge anyone just to get to know trans people. We are a vibrant, diverse community, as diverse as anyone else. You know, I'm from the great state of Texas. I served in the military. I go to church every Sunday. My faith is very important to me. But God made me in her image. God made me transgender. And to see these people...
God made me in her image. God made me transgender. Look, you're never, ever going to understand what is happening in the news today, in our society today. You're never, ever going to understand what's happening until you believe the words that come out of the mouths of these people. And when you listen to what they're saying, and then you open up your Bible and you compare scripture to scripture, they're going to tell you a lot more than you think that they're telling you.
Well, so cynically weaponize this and exploit these children's debts and their teachers' debts, it breaks my heart. I wonder what those families are thinking right now.
What do you feel when you have somebody like Michael Knowles say at CPAC, we need to eradicate transgenderism, and when somebody like Tucker Carlson says that transgender people are at war with Christians?
I can't see Christ in their words. That's for damn sure. I can't see where the biblical principles of loving your neighbor and walking the walk with Christ that they can see. I can't see what they're seeing right now, because that's not of Christ. It's not.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga, a number of years ago, she had a song called Born That Way or Born This Way. And that became the rallying cry for the liberal movement. And what they say is, hey, I didn't choose to be like this. God made me like this. They blame God. And they say that I was born that way. Well, guess what? I'm not going to argue with you. Maybe you were born that way. Which is why Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when transgender and LGBT people tell you, I was born that way, you don't have to disagree with them. Agree with them. Say, okay, you were born that way. Now let me tell you why Jesus says that you have to become born again. See, a lot of people don't understand that expression from John 3:3 in your King James Bible. And the modern Bible versions change that to say, except a man be born from above. And that completely obscures the meaning of this passage. Jesus says that all of us, turn to Genesis chapter 5. Jesus says that we are born in the image of Adam. You don't have to believe me. Look in the Bible. Genesis 5:3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, the Bible says that you were born in the image of Adam. I was born in the image of Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you're only going to die once. And for a certain group of people, you're not going to die at all, as we wait for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. If you've never checked out that series that Spencer Smith has over on YouTube called The Third Adam, I've watched that many, many times. It is an excellent series. Go to Spencer Smith's YouTube channel and check out his great podcast on the third Adam. And he talks about the divine feminine. He talks about the divine feminine. Take a listen to this. This is from 2017. No, wait, wait. No, I don't want to play that. I want to play this. This is from last week. This is a public health committee asking a female doctor, what is a woman? Take a listen to this.
All the time.
I'd like to ask you the same thing I asked the other doctor. What's a woman?
It sounds like an easy question, but it's a complicated question.
Explain it. Tell me the complicated answer.
Okay. So when we look at biological sex, most people fall into male or female. There's multiple different ways to determine what sex you are. We look at chromosomes. We look at internal sexual organs. We look at external genitalia. We look at hormone levels. We look at various different genetic abnormalities. We look at gender identity. Lots of different things. For most of us, those things line up. We call that cisgender. Some folks, they don't line up.
No. I asked you about sex. What's a woman? That's a sex, not a gender.
Well,
there's a difference.
Our last expert said that a woman was somebody who produces ova. That definition is very limited.
But you're combining gender and sex in your medical.
Now I'm talking about sex. A woman is not just somebody who produces ova. What about the woman with androgen insensitivity who is genetically XY and doesn't have ovaries, but has... feels like she's a woman, looks like she's a woman, doesn't
what
realize.
Percentage is that? Is what percentage of the population is that?
It's not common. I don't know what the percentage
is. So let's
is.
Just use the regular, everyday, mm-hmm. run-of-the-mill, what's a woman? You say it's complex. Let me mm-hmm. tell you, I'm retired from the Army. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to claim to be the smartest guy in the room. But I can tell you what a woman is all day mm-hmm. long, and I can tell you what a man is. My 4-year-old son can tell you what a man and a woman is, and so can my 6-year-old daughter. Yet you're a medical professional telling me it's complicated. And then you're the one that is doing these surgeries to children.
I'm not doing any surgeries to
children. Well, then you're using puberty blockers. Am I wrong?
I use hormones.
Okay. But you can't define a man or a woman, but my 4- and 6-year-old can all day long. They don't even have to talk about XY chromosomes and mm-hmm. double 2X chromosomes. They don't have to talk about that. But I have a medical professional that's gone to school for probably at least 12 years and done residency for 4 is my guess. And you can't define it. And that concerns the heck out of me. Can a man have a baby?
Yes.
So there is, they tell you to trust the science. Well, you just heard from the science people. You just heard from a doctor who went to school for 16 years to be a doctor. You know what's interesting? You could take 1,000 men and you could take 1,000 women and you could line them up and have them put on hospital gowns. And if you wanted to give them a 10-second inspection underneath their gown, you could tell with 100% accuracy which ones were the men and which ones were the women. And you wouldn't be wrong one single time. Men have penises and women have vaginas. And that's just the way it is. Now, what that doctor was doing, she was talking about things that, well, you know, some women don't produce certain amounts of hormones. And, you know, so that's not a marker for what a woman is. All that stuff is a smokescreen. Men have penises and women have vaginas, and that's just that. And if you use that as a standard, you will be correct in 100% of the time. But take a listen to this trailer from 60 Minutes Australia. This is their Sunday night program that they're going to be releasing this weekend. Take a listen to this.
We didn't assign a gender at birth.
I'm letting this little person be who they want to be.
It is an experiment. What they're doing is unprecedented.
On 60 Minutes.
You can't tell what your gender is by looking at your body.
What are some of the biggest challenges?
Strangers in the street have had quite a strong response. Why are you so obsessed? Why do you need to know?
We're not trying to eliminate gender. It's really helping kids find their own path to it.
Sunday on 9 and 9 Now.
Have you ever asked yourself, why are so many children starting to identify as transgender? Why are so many children starting to question their own sexuality? Because their parents are telling them things that are not true. Their school teachers and their caretakers are pushing them. Lorianne just said, because they are recruited. That's exactly what's happening. They are being targeted and they are being recruited. Now, we wrote an article a number of years ago, back in 2019, and this is the headline from the article. Under the banner of the rainbow battle flag, God is judging America by allowing the LGBTQ army to take control. And when we started Now the End Begins, the number of people in this country who identified as LGBTQ was about 2.3%. The number of people 14 years later who identify as one of the letters from the acronym is now just under 8%. So you were looking at a 250% increase in the number of people in the LGBTQ movement. Now, when I wrote that article 4 years ago, I got a lot of pushback and people said that I was unloving and uncaring and being unchristian and why can't we all just get along? Well, the reason why we can't all just get along is because we all don't believe the same thing. That is what the only way that you can get along with everybody is you have to have no morals, no convictions, and no absolute standard of truth. Now, those of us here at Now the End Begins, we understand that the Bible is absolute truth, and everything written from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22, everything written in that book is absolute truth. And even if I am not able to uphold that standard, from time to time, Christians will backslide, and we all can relate to that. But even if we are unable to uphold the standard, the standard does not change. The standard does not come down to us. Absolute truth is absolute truth. And the only place on this earth that I know where absolute truth absolutely is within the pages of my King James Bible. Joe Biden made this proclamation yesterday. I'm just going to read a couple of lines to it. I looked for an audio clip, but it was written by his handlers. But this is something from the White House website, and it is called a Proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility. And I just want to read a couple of sentences of what the Biden administration believes about the transgender movement. It reads this way. Transgender Day of Visibility celebrates the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. People who have too often had to put their jobs, relationships, and lives on the line just to be true, just to be their true selves. Today, we show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them, they belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. And I agree with that. I believe that all people should be treated with dignity and respect, even if I vehemently disagree with those people. Their courage has given countless others strength, but no one should have to be brave just to be themselves. Every American deserves that freedom. And I agree with that statement. However, transgender Americans shape our nation's soul. Proudly serving in the military, curing deadly diseases, holding elected office, running thriving businesses, fighting for justice, raising families, and much more. Now, this is where I begin to disagree with the president. Transgender people do not shape our nation's soul. Transgender ideology is antithetical to the healthy soul of any nation. Now, if you go back to that clip that I played about that transgender saying that her God created her in her image, and then you take what Joe Biden just said yesterday, transgender Americans shape our nation's soul. Well, where does that lead you? If transgender ideology shapes America's soul, then you have an America that has a soul that is black and dead and absolutely an abomination is what it is. And in our ministry, we will share the gospel with anybody. And I believe that the gospel is for all people. And nobody is outside of the reach of the grace of God and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you start saying things like transgender ideology, the surgical and chemical mutilation of people, believing things that are provably not true, and being forced to accept something that is not just against the Bible, it's against common sense and logic and reasoning. It's against all those things. If you're trying to say that transgenderism shapes our nation's soul, then as a nation, we are lost. We are absolutely lost as a people. Now, do you know of any candidate for president? And this is a serious question. Do you know of any candidate for president that is going to make a stand against transgenderism? Now, here in Florida, Ron DeSantis, he has made some moves in that direction. But tell me, who would be our next president who would stand up and say, as a nation, we will no longer support this ridiculous abomination, the idea that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man? That is just, I mean, that is mental illness that cannot be done. Would it surprise you to learn that even the churches are going in that direction? Not just the Democrats, not just the government, not just the fake news media. The churches are going in that direction.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what, I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-law's house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church. Oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are.
Well, that was Andy Stanley, and he was telling you that we got to figure that stuff out. He says, I know the Bible verses, but we got to figure that out. Well, wait a second, Andy Stanley. If you know the Bible verses, then you've already figured it out. I think the reason why you say that you've got to figure it out is because you know the Bible verses and you don't believe the Bible verses. You don't want them to be true. Jericho Daily just said, I posted photos on Telegram Fellowship of a congregational church near me with twisted battle flags and banners flying. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. We are in a war. We are in a battle. And it's on a day-by-day basis. It gets weirder. It gets stranger. We sell a book in the bookstore by Dr. Bill Grady called How Satan Turned America Against God. And if you haven't read this book or his book, Perilous Times, I invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and go get yourself a copy of some of Bill Grady's excellent books. Final Authority, What Hath God Wrought? Perilous Times, How Satan Turned America Against God. Go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. And some really, really good books. And it will get you thinking in the right direction. And if you haven't visited the bookstore lately, we are adding new stuff all the time. I don't want to say every day, but on a weekly, definitely on a monthly basis, we are adding new products all the time. We have a fantastic selection of Bibles. If you haven't seen our bookstore lately, please go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. And I promise you, if you love the Bible, if you love the Word of God, and if you minister, if you serve in any capacity, Sunday school teacher, song leader, pastor, assistant pastor, street preacher, personal worker handing out gospel tracts, if you minister in any capacity, I promise you that if you go to BibleBeliever.com, it will be a blessing for you. In fact, we have just updated what used to be called the gospel tract section. It is now called the street preacher section. And if you go to BibleBeliever.com, you'll see it. Just click on where it says street preacher. And we have tons of new things. And if you have a strong desire to see lost people get saved, that street preacher section has been custom made for you. The Lord called me to be a street preacher back in 2012, and that's 11 years ago. And we have stacked it full with things that will help street preachers to witness to the lost and to help the saved people get on fire for God. Now, Janet Yellen, you know what she says our biggest concern is? You have transgenders murdering Christians. What does Janet Yellen think our biggest threat to our way of life is? Take a listen.
Climate change. watching me. And my time is about us, man. I totally agree. I just agree with you for the simple reason that we can't afford it. We live in trying to be. We cannot afford it.
Isn't that amazing that they want to distract you with climate change while transgenders are murdering Christians in the school system? Jane Fonda was on The View last week. You want to know what Jane Fonda, those of you who remember the 1960s and 1970s, you remember that Hollywood actress Jane Fonda got on a plane and went to Vietnam while the Vietnam War was going on, and she spoke against America, and she spoke against American soldiers who were dying on the battlefield in Vietnam. And you may or may not agree with the reasons why America went to war in Vietnam, but let me tell you something, supporting the American soldier is not an option. Soldiers just go where they're sent. They are under authority, as the Bible says. You can disagree with the war and still support the soldiers who are sent there to fight. And when she went to Vietnam and she did that and she spoke against the American soldier and she spoke against America, she earned the nickname of Hanoi Jane. And that has stuck with her all these years later. Now, Hanoi Jane made an appearance on The View last week, just days before Audrey Hale would take an AR-15 and murder six Christians. Take a listen to what Hanoi Jane Fonda said on The View just about 2 weeks ago.
We have experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking, yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. But we're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
You don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding. It's.
Well, let me talk to you about. Let's move on and talk about Jane's activism.
So there you have Hanoi Jane Fonda on The View 2 weeks ago, saying that anybody who is against abortion should be murdered. That's what Jane Fonda said on The View 2 weeks ago. And you heard Joy Behar and everybody else laughing and applauding. And the audience laughing and applauding. Hanoi Jane Fonda saying that anybody who is against abortion should be murdered. Well, who's the largest group of people that's against abortion? Christians. And 1 week after she made that comment, Audrey Hale picked up a gun and blew away three children and three adults at the Covenant Christian School in Nashville. Now, I'm not saying that Audrey Hale did that because of what Jane Fonda said, but that just gives you a little bit of an insight to how these people are thinking. Take a listen to Tucker saying that the transgender movement is targeting Christians.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. It was just last week that we noticed that parts of the transgender movement seem to be getting militant and possibly dangerous. We did a whole segment about it on Thursday night. That segment was sparred by an NPR segment we had heard and never expected to hear. NPR is always, as a matter of editorial policy, completely opposed to civilian ownership of firearms, with the possible exception of maybe IRS agents. Yet here suddenly was that very same station, National Public Radio, positively urging trans people to buy guns, as many guns as possible, and if necessary, to use them. The world is dangerous, explained one trans gun owner. You have to be dangerous back. And that seems strange to us. Is the United States really a dangerous place for trans people? Well, West Baltimore is dangerous. You could easily get murdered there. But if you're trans in this country, obviously there are many downsides, but there do appear to be some benefits. It's a lot easier to get into Harvard, for example. It's definitely easier to get a job at Citibank or in the Biden White House. If you're transgender and can so much as fly a kite, the Pentagon will happily make you an F-35 pilot just so Hollywood can make a movie about it. Identifying as trans, whatever, again, its downsides, does convey status in this country, which is why so many young people now do. Not a lot of 19-year-olds are pretending to be car mechanics or linemen for a regional power company in eastern Ohio, but plenty of college freshmen do pretend to be members of the opposite sex. And why wouldn't they? The people in charge despise working-class whites, but they venerate the trans community. People are just responding to incentives. It's rational in a way. But that does not explain the anger that we heard in that NPR segment. Why are some trans people so angry, and why do they seem to be mad specifically at traditional Christians? We can't think of any trans person who's ever been murdered by a pastor. As far as we know, that has never happened. So it's not an actual threat of violence from Christians that's inspiring some trans people to buy AR-15s. No, it's got to be more fundamental than that. And it is. The trans movement is the mirror image of Christianity and therefore its natural enemy. In Christianity, the price of admission is admitting that you're not God. Christians openly concede that they have no real power over anything, and for that matter, very little personal virtue. They will tell you to your face that they are sinful and helpless and basically absurd. They're not embarrassed about any of this. They brag about it. That saved a wretch like me, goes the most famous Christian hymn ever written in English. The trans movement takes the opposite view. Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. We can change the identity we were born with, they will tell you with wild-eyed certainty. Christians...
All right, so I want to stop Tucker right there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Are you starting to see the theme that we have going today? I'm showing you from the Bible that transgender ideology, they have a king. That king is Leviathan from Job 41. And you just heard Tucker say that the transgenders believe that they have dominion over this world and they have dominion over their bodies. And they may have been born as a man, but they can change it. And only God can do that. So I want you to look at this is a quote from Leviathan. In Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 13, okay, this is what Satan is after. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is exactly what the point that Tucker is making. He just doesn't know the Bible to pull out these verses. So I'm going to help Tucker out a little bit here. He is absolutely correct when he says that the transgender ideology is about believing that you are God and you can change things and create things that only God is capable of doing. And in Isaiah chapter 14, you see five times that Lucifer looks up at God. Lucifer is a created being. He was originally given the dominion over the original earth. And we're going to talk about that on an upcoming Bible study. Lucifer was the original king of this earth, but he wasn't happy with that. He wanted what God has. And the Bible says that God is a jealous God and he will not give or share his glory with another.
Can never agree with this statement because these are powers they believe God alone possesses. That unwillingness to agree, that failure to acknowledge a trans person's dominion over nature, incites and enrages some in the trans community. People who believe they're God can't stand to be reminded that they're not. So Christianity and transgender orthodoxy are wholly incompatible theologies. They can never be reconciled. They are on a collision course with each other. One side is likely to draw blood before the other side. That's what we concluded last week. Yesterday morning, tragically, our fears were confirmed. A self-identified trans person called Audrey Hale committed mass murder at a Christian school in Nashville. Hale burst into a place called the Convent School and executed 3 9-year-olds as well as 3 adults. Police have released body cam footage from the end of the massacre. We're showing you just a small part of it. You can see the rest online if you want. We're not going to show it because that's too awful and sad. But what was almost as sickening to see in a far more subtle and insidious way was the media coverage of yesterday's tragedy. Here's Terry Moran of ABC News, for example, suggesting that Christians were murdered in Tennessee because they infringed on the rights of transgendered people. Watch.
Audrey Hale was identified herself as a transgender person. State of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors, as well as a law that prohibited adult entertainment, including male and female impersonators, after a series of drag show controversies in that state.
The state of Tennessee bans the sexual mutilation of children. Children get shot to death in a school. It's cause and effect. That's what ABC News is telling you.
And Tucker is exactly right. And when you look at the things that were taking place that led Audrey Hale to shoot those 6 people and to kill them dead, the FBI discovered yesterday that Audrey Hale had been receiving counseling from Pastor Scruggs. And she was very, very much against the Christian perspective and the Christian point of view, even though that she attended that school. She never wanted to attend the Covenant Christian School. Her parents made her go there. And so she started counseling sessions with Pastor Scruggs. And the reason why she did that is she wanted to find out the best way to murder him. She wasn't after his kid. She was after him. And when he wasn't available, she had no problem at all murdering his 9-year-old child. Now, the fake news media is trying to make you believe that she had mental problems, which I grant you, she had mental problems. But you can have mental problems and still be in control of your thinking processes. She created this elaborate scheme. She obviously was a very deep thinker, and she had no problem coming up with this plan. And this is what Tucker is talking about, that the transgender movement is targeting Christians. And that is exactly right. That is exactly true. Now, the only question is how far is this targeting going to go? And that's the question that we do not know. We have no idea. Is this a random incident? But it's happened multiple times with non-binary and transgender people. The last 5 school shooters identified as either transgender or non-binary. That's really the way it is. And it is terrifying to understand that this is where we are. Take a listen to this guy, Pastor Guy Mason, saying that Christians should support transgenders.
So in the end, for Christians, the question is not, who does the world say I am? The question is not, who does society or some religious or political figure say I am? In the end, the question is not even, who do I say I am? The question is, who does God say that I am? And God says, you are loved. God says you're made by him and you are made for him. And this is where Christians can and must lean into the rights of those who identify as transgender. The Christian philosopher Edith Stein explains, whoever is near us and needing us must be our neighbor. The love of Christ knows no limits. It never ends. So if that means advocating for better health care and social support, if that means creating space for gender-inclusive bathrooms and policies that acknowledge a person's humanity and their inherent value, if that does mean thinking through complex questions around sport or the particular and unique struggles that the trans community face when it comes to healthcare and domestic violence and homelessness, then we as Christians should be on the front lines shining light and offering love. Because trans people are real people.
So there you have Pastor Guy Mason, and I believe he is the pastor of the City on a Hill Church in Melbourne, Australia. Now, we have a lot of listeners in Australia and New Zealand, and I thank the Lord for that. But every time, I mean, it's gotten so that if I hear anybody from any church talking with an Australian accent, I immediately brace myself for some horrible, bad theology. Because, and if you live in Australia, don't be offended, but doesn't it seem like every pastor that comes out of Australia is like this rogue, renegade, anti-Bible, just the worst possible Hillsong theology? Man, I would love to know if there's any Bible-believing preachers left in the nation of Australia, because every time I hear a pastor talking with the Australian accent, which I used to like, I used to like to hear the Australian accent, but now every time I hear it, I think of Hillsong Church and I think of just this horrible, horrible theology. But Pastor Guy Mason wants us to support transgenders. Now, why should a transgender have a special healthcare program? Why should there be special hate crime laws that support transgenders? Everything that you could put into a transgender hate crime bill is already on the books in America. You can't do that to another person regardless of what their ideology happens to be. It's not right to bully somebody. It's not right to attack somebody. It's not right to deny anybody a job or housing or credit based on their personal religious convictions or their personal ideological stances on science and gender. So why do we need special laws for the transgender? Why is Pastor Guy Mason from City on a Hill Church in Australia, why is he telling us that we should go out of our way for transgender people? Well, the reason behind that is when you acknowledge them as a special class of people that need to be protected because of that classification, what you are inadvertently doing is you are signing off in agreement on what they believe. And that's where they get you. They appeal to your compassion as a Christian. This pastor, Guy Mason, he is appealing to your compassion as a Christian, but then he is pulling the rug out from under you and getting you to sign off on creating a special classification of protection for people who identify as transgender. And that's how they trick you, and that's how they fool you. We only have about 5 minutes left, but take a listen to this. The Genderbread Person Gender Revolution.
let's unpack this whole gender conversation. You use a device or a character called the genderbread man. The genderbread person.
It's okay. I found it really helpful to think about gender in a few different distinct categories. Gender identity, how you define your gender and how you see yourself. Gender expression, the different ways that we present or perform gender through our actions, our dress, and our demeanor. And biological sex or anatomical sex, the physical characteristics that make up our body that in many people's minds equal gender, but don't.
So gender expression is the way you present yourself to the world. So you could be talking about the way you dress.
Yeah.
The way you comb your hair.
Or don't.
Or use product.
Yeah.
So everything kind of as it relates to the outside world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a perfect way of thinking about it. So even just, okay, so this is funny. The way that I'm sitting right now is a very feminine expression of sitting because, like, how we sit is gendered, right?
And meanwhile, I'm kind of manspreading.
Yeah, you're manspreading. You're not even giving me enough room to properly manspread over here. This is the man cross, the masculine way of crossing a leg. This is just uncomfortable for me. Feels like so much.
It feels good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like yoga. Okay, now let's do the girl.
Okay.
So gender is different than sexual orientation.
Yeah.
But a lot of people get them confused.
Yeah. Gender is who you go to bed as. Sexual orientation is who you go to bed with.
Got it.
So if you haven't heard that one's important.
So let's talk about penises and vaginas, shall we?
So there you have something. That was Katie Couric from 2017. And she was interviewing a man who wrote a book, or whatever he identifies as. He wrote a book called The Genderbread Person. And we have been warning you about that going all the way back. Let's see how. Yeah, we first did an article on The Genderbread Person way back in 2014. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you are a regular reader and listener at Now the End Begins, you are one of the most highly informed people on the face of the earth. Because we talk about things and we usually talk about them before the rest of the world is talking about them, because God gives us the inside track, in many cases. And we warned you about the coming transgender revolution all the way back in 2014 with an article that we did called School Parents Outraged After Planned Parenthood Caught Indoctrinating Children with the Genderbread Person. And we warned you about that back in 2014. Now, how well has an article like that aged? 9 years later, it's aged very, very, very well. So look, what's behind this transgender movement and the transgender ideology and all this crazy stuff? All you have to do is open up your Bible and read it and believe it. The Bible says that the pride movement has a king over them, and that king is Leviathan. And Leviathan is a perfect type of Antichrist. Why do you think that when you turn to Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 13, and you read the book of Daniel, and you see this dragon with the multiple heads and the multiple crowns, you really don't think that that's a metaphor, do you? Because it's not. Satan is a dragon. He is a sea creature. And he came out of the deeps. And when you read about this red dragon in the book of Revelation, that is the devil himself. We're going to give Joan Rivers, famous American comedian, we're going to give Joan Rivers the last word today about transgenders.
Miss Rivers, how are you?
You made a ton of news officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I am so excited. Okay. And I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the first, the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
You know Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's okay. She does this.
Welcome back. There you have Joan Rivers, who was telling you that her friends, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, Joan Rivers, right before she died under mysterious circumstances on a relatively easy operation, Joan Rivers said that Obama was the first gay president and that Michelle is a transgender. And then a couple of months later, she just didn't make it off that operating table. Funny how that works out, isn't it? And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I want to thank you so much for being a regular listener to these broadcasts and for being a regular reader of NowTheEndBegins.com. And please keep our free Bible program and our Bibles Behind Bars program in your prayers and our billboard program. We are getting ready to roll out some billboards, and we can only do these things because we have your support. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. So if you think that having gospel witness billboards and a free Bible program and a Bibles Behind Bars program, if you think that those things are good things, we invite you to pray for us, and we invite you to become a financial supporter of Now the End Begins so that we can continue to do these things on an even larger level. Thank you very much, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power.
my joy is complete, for I'm saved, and I'm not going to hell.